From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, we're in Atlanta for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. This past Wednesday through Friday, we were at First Baptist Atlanta for our Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, which brought Christian leaders and theologians together for an encouraging and exciting look at the Christian's role in the political process. And while the summit has now concluded, you can catch up with all of our speakers over at PrayVoteStand.org. On today's program, we're going to feature three of our speakers who joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Thursday. First up is one of our favorite governors of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee. Here's how Tony Perkins got things started.
President Biden earlier today hosted the United We Stand Summit, which came on the heels of the divisive and inflammatory remarks that the president has been making in recent weeks. Is the president in a position to bring America together? It's what he says he wants to do, but his words tell a different story. Here to talk about this is Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, welcome to the program.
Tony, great to be with you. And, I'm just going to come and offer some very consoling words today because I've been watching Joe Biden. This speech that he gave a week or so ago, I called it the get off my lawn speech because I honestly thought it was Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino with a shotgun pointed and saying, get off my lawn. He basically told 74 million Americans, we don't belong here. I've never seen anything like that. And I've been watching presidential speeches going back to Eisenhower. There's never been a president who, in a presidential address, even in a political campaign, but in a presidential address, basically insulted half the country and said that they were enemies and a threat to democracy.
Now, Governor, you came out of Arkansas. Politics were pretty rough and tumble back then.
It was.
And in fact, when you went into the governor's office, your door was nailed shut.
Yes, it was.
They wanted to keep you out of office, literally. You've been around for a while. You've been a Baptist preacher, so you've been through some business meetings.
Yeah.
And now you're the host of Huckabee on TBN, which is a great program. I was with you this past weekend. Always great to be with you on that. What's the state of politics in America when you look at the president that you heard the quote, 92% of Republicans see him as dividing our nation?
The state of politics is worse than I've ever seen it. We've always had divisions. We've had conflicts. That's normal. You should have conflict in politics.
Right. But you work toward a consensus.
You work toward a consensus, and you understood that there were certain things you had to do, whether it was pass a budget or educate kids. There was, at least a common consensus. But today, the divide is much deeper. We now see that when we're talking about education, the question is, are we really talking about educating kids about America? Are we going to tell them that America is an evil, racist, horrible country? And what a contrast. A week ago, we observed the anniversary of 9/11. Now, that was not that long ago, 21 years. 21 years ago, nobody was taking a knee. Nobody was desecrating the flag. We were all flying flags, and it didn't matter if we were rich, poor, rural, urban, black, white. People believed in America. So if the country was systemically racist all this time, how come America came together 21 years ago in the face of 9/11? The reason is just because we weren't systemically racist. We weren't a horrible country.
Right.
And everyone, no matter who they were, recognize the value of this country compared to the kind of people who murdered 3,000 souls on September 11th. So something has happened. Well, what's happened is the radicalization of the political process, and it's no longer Democrat and Republican. It's the far left, and it's the rest of America.
And there's a difference between that. It's different between liberal and conservative. It's different
right.
between Democrat and Republican, which when I was in the Louisiana legislature, the Republicans were an extreme minority, but we worked together for a common good. There's now a polarization that's taken place in the country that there is such a divide. How do we bridge that?
Well, I don't think we do as long as the division is over as intense a philosophical disagreement. When you have people who think it's okay to take the life of an unborn child right up to the moment of birth, you can't compromise with
right.
that. You just can't. When you have people who believe it's all right to mutilate a 14-year-old girl and remove her breast and completely and irreversibly destroy her body, we have to have a standard. I'm a musician, maybe not a very good one, but I do play. Before you can play music, you have to tune the instrument. What do you tune it to? To what you think, what you feel, what you believe? That's a train wreck waiting to happen right. If you do that. You tune it to a standard that is absolutely the same no matter where you are and no matter what music you're playing. If we don't have a standard, if we don't have a fixed and absolute to which we tune our culture, then we are going to be making noise, not music. And what I see happening in our world today is that because we have abandoned the notion that there is a God, abandoned the notion of biblical truth, that the Bible is true, whether I like it or not, it's true. I'm the one that has the problem. But now we have people who worship the created rather than the creator. Environmentalism has become its own God. Government is a God to many people on the far left. And they scoff at the notion that there really is a creator God to whom we have accountability.
And as long as we hold to that truth, and there are those who reject that truth, there is no compromise. Because historically, and I'm glad you brought that up, because historically, we've compromised and we've given in, and this is where it's gotten us. And I believe when we stand on truth, God's word is not for us to negotiate away. It is his truth. We must stand upon it. It's not ours to, we didn't write it, so we can't erase it.
You know, God has not assigned me the editor's job of the Bible and gone in and said, okay, look, there's some things that don't match the culture anymore. It was several years ago when Pope John Paul II was being interviewed by a secular reporter. And the reporter said, Your Holiness, how come the church doesn't do more to become in step with the culture? Why doesn't it get more in touch with the standards of the world? And his answer was classic, so I loved him. He said, my dear son, the church is the standard. We might say the Bible is the standard, but the point being that we don't adjust ourselves right. To the changing whims of an ever-moving culture. We fix ourselves on the Word of God unapologetically. What I fear is, Tony, we have a lot of believers in our nation who are very apologetic, and they want to be nice. They want to be loved. Look, I'd love to be loved. I'd love to be nice. But sometimes you got to stand and fight, and that's what we're faced with, whether we like that or not.
Ultimately, we have to stand on that truth. Governor Mike Huckabee, I want to thank you for joining us on Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here at the Pray Vote Stand Summit. Look forward to hearing you tonight as well.
Thank you. Great honor to be here, and I appreciate it. I'm hoping for a great midterm election that maybe people will wake up.
Yes. Governor Mike Huckabee, and he'll be with us again tonight at the Pray Vote Stand Summit. You can watch him by tuning in at prayvotestand.org/summit. It'll be on beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight. All right, don't go away. More Washington Watch coming up next.
Today can be a challenge finding a quality news source in this media-saturated world, which is why Family Research Council launched The Washington Stand, an online platform with a mission to provide readers with factual news and commentary, all from a biblical worldview. Based in Washington, D.C., our reporters provide accurate and up-to-date information on the biggest stories of the day, ranging from breaking news on crucial Supreme Court cases to the latest stories in public education, details on domestic and international religious liberty reports, and more. The Washington Stand was created to keep you informed on the stories affecting faith, family, and freedom. We realize that trust and credibility must be earned, and we're committed to earning yours. We don't take it for granted that you're giving us your time to read what we write. It's our prayer that what we publish here will help equip you as you stand where you are. It is time to be encouraged, to be in the know, and stand firm in truth. Do so by visiting WashingtonStand.com today.
From Asia to Africa, from the Middle East to Europe and beyond, the global persecution of Christians becomes more ominous with every passing year. Heroic Faith serves as a tribute to the courageous believers who face grave and often deadly threats, yet bravely persevere in their devotion to Jesus Christ. The book highlights personal stories from those who endure religious persecution and takes a close look at the tragic circumstances Christians often face due to dangerous and deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution. what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold, or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us as we're broadcasting live from First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia, the site of this year's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. And we have a live audience here with us. It's a unique privilege for us. We don't always have a live audience, so welcome, everyone. All right, Memphis, Tennessee has been drawing a lot of attention following two violent attacks there earlier this month that were allegedly committed by two suspects who had been released from prison before serving their full sentences. The volunteer state's two senators, Bill Hagerty and Marsha Blackburn, yesterday sent a letter to President Biden noting that the recent episodes of violence came in Memphis are symptomatic of the rise in violent crime across the country, and they urged his administration to immediately take action, a call they actually reiterated during a press conference yesterday with other members of the Senate Republican conference. Now, with midterms approaching, Democrats have changed their tune when it comes to defunding the police, but they continue to claim that gun control is the answer. But will that really solve the crime wave we're seeing? What really is at the heart of the crime that is sweeping across our country? With me now to talk about this is Bishop Vincent Matthews, president of the Church of God in Christ World Missions, and he pastors in the Memphis area. Bishop Matthews, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's good to be back with you, Tony.
Thank you for having me. To have you here at Pray, Vote, Stand. You'll be speaking tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Give us a little preview of what we might hear from you tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, just what you were sharing even earlier, I'm grateful maybe to the president because maybe he has bound the country back together in some ways, in a backwards way, because people are seeing that some of the things you've been warning and others have been warning are actually true, that this extremism to chaos and other things are difficult, and that we really want to talk about why we should pray, why we should vote, and why we must stand as the Church of the Living God.
So we see, I mean, you see it in Memphis, you see it around the country. It's not limited to Memphis, it's everywhere.
That's right.
Is this, I mean, this is lawlessness.
Yes.
What's at the heart of this? Is gun control the answer?
Definitely not. And defunding the police, which was spread across the country, but people on Main Street were not asking to defund the police. Black, white, Latino, Asian, it doesn't matter. The answer really, I think there's a demonic agenda to bring chaos to be able to pull off whatever people want to do in our nation. But really the answer is the church being the church. We were in Bible study when this young man was playing a video game in real life, Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Yeah, he was playing Grand Theft Auto in real life. He was arrested less than a mile away from my church while we were in Bible study. And the bottom line was that this young man at 19 years old, who's reaching out to him? Was he raised in the church? We see all the studies that tell that if a young person is in church 4 days out of a month, that they're 70% least likely to be involved in antisocial behavior. We have, just as the governor said a few moments ago, people have turned away from God, made gods unto themselves, and followed the god of materialism, secular humanism, and this is what we get as a result.
So, Bishop, it's not the time for Christians who find themselves, you know, being kind of pushed aside. Don't bring that religion stuff into the public square.
That's right.
That's exactly what we need to be bringing.
Exactly. And the challenge for the American church is that we've been bullied to be silent, to only speak within the four walls, but we must stand firm. Just as the advert that you had before, we must be bold and courageous, pray as the apostles did for boldness to stand firm. If we don't, the world is going to break us, literally.
So, when you look at the crime rates, and they're rising everywhere. I mean, last year, record number of homicides.
Yes.
We're seeing violent crime increase. Are the people of America, you know, folks that come to your church, that are in the communities around your church, are they ready for something different?
Oh, very, very much so. As a matter of fact, we've what it says in scripture, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven have suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We've decided not to be on the defensive, but to be on the offensive and to go forward, outreach, knocking on doors, standing on the streets. Everywhere we go, no one is refusing prayer. No one is refusing someone trying to bring an answer to them. So the world is ready. The man on the street may not be an eschatologist, but they understand that something is happening, and they can see that there has to be a greater answer than our government.
So build on that. What should our churches be doing right now?
Yeah, our churches must be actively, A, raising up disciples, building up a sense of family, because family is being eroded from every angle, protecting our children, and declaring the same message that was after the intertestamental period in that new era, because we're in a new era. This post-COVID era was not about the disease, but about the things that have been clamped down in our society. We must declare, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that Jesus is the way, and then we must be the hands and feet of the church and demonstrate what Christ would have us to do.
We also understand that as the church gets out, it faces resistance.
Yes.
Some of that resistance comes from government. Are you finding government officials now more open because they're out of answers when it comes to solving the crime problems plaguing our cities?
Yeah, often we hear these governmental officials who are on the news that are touting all the things that they're touting. But on Main Street, the local government officials are wrangling on what should we do, and they're needing help. Social workers, all of these individuals, we've began partnerships with them to say, hey, we're here to assist, to help. Even things and when you have a government from the top that purports that murder of a child up to the day of birth is okay, then this young man who is killing people in the streets is a small example compared to what's happening in our land. So the murderous spirit has been pushed across our land, and we must stand up, speak up. I was just, I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm excited now. I was just reading in Matthew chapter 20, there were two blind men sitting on the side of the road when Jesus was coming, preparing for his triumphal entry, and they were crying out, Lord Jesus, save us, have mercy on us, son of David. And people told them to be quiet, but they got louder. This is what the church must be. We must get louder. And at that point, Jesus stopped, he looked at them, and he asked, what is it that you need? The problem is that the church has been too silent. I've done an informal study. Anyone I see that has a cross on anywhere, I say, hey, are you one of those Jesus followers? You know how many people quickly deny because they think that I'm hostile? And then finally, when I finally say, I'm a Jesus follower, they say, oh, yeah, I am also. But they're afraid that I'm against them. We must be able to stand and be willing to die. We have nothing to die for. We have nothing to live for.
That is so true. Bishop Vincent Matthews, always great to see
it's
you.
Good
thanks
to be
for
with
joining
you.
Us and
Thank
look forward
you.
To hearing you tonight.
Thank you, too.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Folks, be sure and tune in tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit here at First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. All right, coming up, is your money going to companies who have gone woke? What can you do about it? That's our conversation next here on Washington Watch.
With the current division and confusion in our culture, it is so important for Christians to ground themselves in the truth of God's Word. We must be prepared to respond to the culture with the reason for the hope that we have. This is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview exists. The center applies the Bible and the historical teachings of the church to a wide range of current issues. We help Christians understand why we can trust our lives to Scripture. We equip believers to advance and defend the faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. The experts at the center address and provide resources on issues like religious liberty, abortion, voting, marriage, and sexuality. To access our free resources, like the Biblical Worldview series, go to frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including blogs, op-eds, interviews, and publications, sign up at frc.org/subscribe.
Big tech companies have canceled conservatives and Christians left and right. At Family Research Council, we've decided to be proactive about making sure big tech cannot completely silence us. FRC has a tech subscription platform to make sure we can keep you in the know. That way, if we're forced to go dark, you can still get FRC's content straight on your phone.
Sign up for our text alerts by texting STAND to 67742. Message send varies. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to cancel. Help for help. Visit frc.org/text for terms and conditions in our privacy policy. Today, we live in a culture where young men, husbands, and fathers are constantly presented with terrible illustrations of manhood. In this culture of gender confusion, how can boys and men figure out what it even means to be a man of God? That is why Family Research Council created Stand Courageous Men's Ministry. It's led by men who are compassionate leaders, who understand the issues of the day, and will invest in unpacking our role as defenders, providers, instructors, chaplains, and battle buddies, so that we can embrace our identity as men and fight the battles every man faces. God made each one of us on purpose, and He had a purpose for making you a man. Stand Courageous offers many resources to help you step into your God-given role. We have podcasts, coaching videos, books, Bible reading plans, community opportunities, and more. Men, this ministry is for you. Learn more and access our resources at standcourageous.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, and we are broadcasting live from the site of this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit, which is First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. So we hope you are participating in that. If you can't make it here, we still got tonight and tomorrow, all day tomorrow and tomorrow night. If you're in the area, we've still got room for you. If not, tune in by going to prayvotestand.org, and you can join us for each of the sessions. All right, increasingly, this is one of the conversations we had this afternoon, more and more companies are going woke. You know, it becomes especially clear each June during Pride Month when the rainbows come out. But for most of the year, it's not always clear which companies are supporting or even actively pushing radical and leftist agendas. Well, one company is doing something about that. Join me now to talk about a new app that he and his team have developed is Michael Seifert. He is the founder and CEO of Public Square. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for having me. Glad to be here.
So, Michael, we met a number of years ago at JH Ranch, which something I've talked about on the program many times when I've taken all my kids. This is something you've kind of entered into this public space. So you're a young guy. Why getting involved in these issues?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways I could answer that, but our country's in a very pivotal time, and it feels like if I were not to step up and take a stand for the things that I believe in, that not only would my family suffer the consequences of that, but the generation that comes after us. And we did meet at JH Ranch, and that's a great organization that tries to instill life purpose in the next generation and believes that the greatest way to do that is starting with the family unit. So I was raised up in a culture, organizations like that, that taught me what it looks like to create a legacy. And my wife and I are actually expecting our first child in about 6 weeks.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so the issues become very personal. Thomas Paine said, if a battle may come, let it be in my day, so that my children may know peace. So for us, it feels like if we don't stand up now, if we don't try to create this new economy that's centered around the values that we hold dear, our nation will suffer irreparable damage that my kids are going to have to deal with. And so it's kind of now or never. And we've experienced tremendous success as we've stood. God has really blown wind in our sails, so we're going to keep running.
So we're talking about stewardship issues, really, because we can vote at the voting at the ballot box, and we can elect leaders. But then we see how corporate America, just like we saw with Disney in Florida, bullying the governor and others, you know, using their corporate clout to try to shape the policy. Explain how this tool counterbalances that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, woke corporatism has ravaged our country in a lot of ways. And often, if you want to look at why political decisions are made, look at where the money's going and who benefits from it financially. And so as we've seen progressive policies start to infect the marketplace, that's left tens of millions of Americans like myself, conservative Americans. I love my Lord and I love my country and the values that made it so special in the first place. That woke corporatism has made it hard for us to have a place to shop and support businesses that support our values. We're left wondering, well, where the heck am I supposed to turn? So what we've done with Public Square, publicsq.com, is we've actually created a tool where you can learn all the businesses near you and nationally online that support your values. If you are a freedom-loving, liberty-minded American, you have an entire network, a database of coffee shops, restaurants, plumbers, electricians, banks, lenders that all have agreed with a set of values to stand and say, I love my country and the freedoms that it protects. That way you know that you're not having to fund abortion with a coffee purchase. You're not having to fund stripping of Second Amendment rights with a bank transaction. Instead, you get to know that for the purchase of your life, you're moving the power structures of society back toward we the people and the values that have made it special.
And so it's not only the consumers that are interested, but also the businesses are looking to try to maybe separate themselves from all these woke corporations?
Absolutely. Small businesses have felt the effects of this. I mean, I think it was one of the greatest crimes against humanity I've ever witnessed, that Amazon during the COVID season was preaching about the need for lockdowns while they were the very institution that was profiting off of them. Meanwhile, 43% of small businesses in LA had to close down. I think that's a big problem. So when small businesses finally feel like there's a network for them, they're thanking us every day, and it's an honor to be a.
So Michael, explain how it works for the consumer.
So it's completely free for the consumer and the business to join. The best place to start is publicsq.com. When you're there, you'll see an ability to sign up for an account, and you're going to be dropped into an experience where you can shop online with thousands of businesses around the country that share your values and can't wait to serve you from all different industries. You can also shop local, so you can connect with the businesses that are actually in your geographical location. And what's really neat is it's a social commerce experience. So while you're there, there's an ability to chat with other users, chat with the business owners, hear their thoughts, and it's completely free. And so it's a very easy, user-friendly experience. We just launched nationwide 9 weeks ago. So this is available no matter where you are in these glorious United States.
And then there's some incentives that are on there for people to shop with these pro-American businesses.
Absolutely. We ran a market research study last spring where we asked American conservative consumers from 27 states, how many of you would drive 10 minutes farther or spend 10% more to spend every dollar in alignment with your values? 98% said yes. So what we're doing to take it even a step further is saying, what if you didn't have to drive farther? What if you didn't have to spend more? What if we could actually ask these businesses to give you a discount to shop there? Now, over a third of the businesses on the Public Square platform will actually give you a discount just so you'll go to their business and support them as a Public Square member.
It's really cool. Great idea. Michael, so again, give out the website one more time.
publicsq.com.
All right. And you were on one of the panels this afternoon talking about how to take on woke corporate America. And I think we can talk about the problem, but we've got to bring a solution. Amen. And this is one of them. Michael, so good to see you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. A reminder that you can watch all of our Pray Vote Stand speakers over at PrayVoteStand.org or follow the links over from TonyPerkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.